have you in the Lord's house today. And I'll say this a little later, but if you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate when it comes time for that. I just met a young man that I hadn't seen in quite some time. Dwayne Perry is visiting with us and has his family. I don't know if y'all remember the Perry family or not, but it's been several years. But they grow up on us, and got his family, and they're vacationing. They're with us today, and we're thankful for that. We will have, boy, I sound like the president, don't I? We'll be having, that was funny, even though I was one that said it. We'll be having a business meeting tonight. We'll meet at 6 o'clock, and we would like for you to come. Todd said he had 40 pizzas ordered. He hopes some folks come to eat those up. We need some desserts to go along with those. So if you could help us out in that area, we really would appreciate it. We're going to be voting on a new youth man tonight. And Dalton and Erica, would y'all stand up? Y'all remember them? We've been interviewing them the last two or three weeks, and we are going to present them tonight. And so you'll be voting tonight on that couple to come and serve as youth. Dalton will be, I told Eric, I said, he'll be the youth director, but you got to be here. So the wife goes with him. So we're thankful for that. And we kind of got to help raise them. Erica's been with us since she was a baby, and Dalton's been with us since the 11th grade, so we're thankful for that. And we're thankful that you're here tonight. Is there anyone that would not be able to come to the business meeting tonight? Is there? Somebody count. Looks like we're going to have a crowd. Really, we really need you to be here and to be a part of this time together. Let me lead us in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you. We praise you for the day that you've given us. And we want to present this time into your hands. We pray that you'd bless it. We pray for your anointing to be on the music. We pray that it would be an offering to you. We pray that you'd be with the preaching, that you'd anoint, and that it'd be your word, not our word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We also have some pens for mothers. So is somebody going to pass those out? There we come. Look at these guys. So I guess if you're a mother or a mother-to-be, raise your hand and they will hand you all pens. Hey guys, we got three up here.
I'm looking out.
Okay, all right. Come on.
let's all stand as we sing the Lily of the Valley. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The Lily of the Valley, in Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. He has all my sins taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, He's my strong and mighty God. I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols torn from His heart, and now He keeps me by His side. While I live by faith into His blessed will. Oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With this man and he, my hungry soul shall fear. In sorrow, He's my comfort. In trouble, He's my stay. He's the wind of the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the coming call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. I want to be close, close to your side. I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy God. The great I am, who is worthy, none beside. Sunday, what a perfect song for Mother's Day. Although this song was not written for mothers, I think it is super fitting for you mothers. The mothers that are here now, the future mothers, and the future of the mothers that have gone on before us. Sing with us as we sing the blessing. Bless you and keep you. make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Children, and the children may pray. go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming and you're going and you're weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Amen.
Mother's Day, Pastor Lynn.
I have a presentation to make this morning. Braylee, would you come up here, please? Braylee, I'm sorry. I thought surely a guy could read that there. We are so glad that you have decided to accept Christ as your Savior and have you followed Him in believer's baptism. And this certificate indicates that you are a member of Osage Baptist Church, and we sure do. We sure are glad to have you. God bless you. Our men will come to receive the morning offering.
God, thanks for this day. I pray that you'll bless this offering and help it in your ministries. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Children's Church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group right now. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. 2 Timothy. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And as you take your Bible and follow along, I'll read from my translation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. You may be seated and watch this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Grandma back today. I want to tell you about God. God is Jesus, and Jesus is God. And Jesus came to earth to die for our sins, and he raised from the grave so that we can have eternal life and live with him forever in heaven. It's a great thing to talk about because God is the one who will set you free from sin. And sin is the bad stuff we do, and the bad stuff we think, and the bad stuff we say, and the bad stuff we do, and the bad stuff we say. Like lying and not being truthful. Sin is just on our hearts, but God takes it and puts it on his own son while he's dying on the cross. He took our sin so that we can live with him forever. And that's amazing. It's amazing that God takes our sin and gives it to Jesus, and Jesus dies on the cross and raised from the grave, and we can have eternal life with him. That's crazy. But I just wanted to talk to you guys about that because I know I love Jesus. I just love you, and I want to say goodbye. Goodbye, everyone.
Transferable faith. I believe that she got hold of that. She was taught that. It didn't come natural to her, but she'd been taught that, maybe at the supper table or during family altar, but she'd heard that several times, and she was able to share that with other people. Can you measure the influence of a mother on children? No way to measure that. In 1900, A.E. Winship did a study on the descendants of Sarah Edwards, the wife of theologian Jonathan Edwards, and the mother of 11 children. Can you imagine? During his research, Winship discovered that the Edwards family produced 13 college presidents, 65 scholastic professors, 100 lawyers, a dean of a law school, 30 judges, 66 physicians, 80 holders of public office, 3 United States senators, mayors of 3 large cities, governors of 3 states, a vice president of the United States, a controller of the United States Treasury. Winship concluded that much of the capacity and talent, intensity, and character of more than 1,400 of Edwards' family is due to Mrs. Edwards. Hudson Taylor, well-known established missionary to China, tells a story about his mother. If you've done the Experiencing God workbook, you've read this story already. It would be familiar to you. But it's something that gripped my heart from the very first time that I read it. And so I want to share that with you now. And so he says, "My beloved, now sainted mother, had come to see me off from Liverpool. Never shall I forget that day, nor how she went with me into the little cabin that was to be my home for nearly 6 long months. With a mother's loving hand, she smoothed the little bed. She sat by my side and joined me in the last hymn that we should sing together before the long parting. We knelt down and she prayed, the last mother's prayer I was to hear before starting for China. Then notice was given that we must separate, and we had to say goodbye, never expecting to meet on earth again." Can you imagine? "For my sake, she restrained her feelings as much as possible. We parted, and she went on shore, giving me her blessing. I stood alone on deck, and she followed the ship as we moved toward the dock gates. As we passed through the gates and the separation really commenced, I shall never forget the cry of anguish wrung from my mother's heart. It went through me like a knife. I never knew so fully until then that God so loved the world, what God so loved the world meant. And I am quite sure that my precious mother learned more of the love of God to the perishing in that hour than in all her life before." And then he goes on to praise God for all those that were being saved in China. I read a little brief deal on Hudson Taylor and how many thousands are contributed, salvations are contributed to his mission efforts in China. We're living in the days of unnatural affection. Mothers' affection should just be natural. I can't go through a Mother's Day without remembering my own mom, who's, as Hudson Taylor said about his, has now reached sainthood. She's in heaven. And perhaps along with many of you who are sitting here, today's mother is already gone to be with the Lord. There's this natural love that they have. My mom, probably like yours, I was grown, married, had children of my own. Had a good job. My wife had a good job. And we'd come home for a visit. And when we would get ready to leave, she would always usher me into her bedroom to say a few words to me. And those words were always the same. "Are you all right? Do you need some money?" I'd say, "Mom, we're doing fine. Gwen and I are both working. We've got money. We're just fine." That's natural affection. But we're living in the days of unnatural affection. We see it all about us. I watched a little bit of news. You know, can you imagine people protesting Mother's Day? Can you imagine that we're living in a day that the abortionists would stand outside churches and protest Mother's Day? We're living in the days of unnatural affection. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, Paul continues to write to Timothy, and he says, "This know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come." And folks, I believe that we're living in those days right now. The Bible talks about not only unnatural affection in those last days, but it talks about us being easily fooled. There would be this movement that folks would be caught off guard and taken to a place that they would normally not have gone, but because of the day in which they're living, they would be fooled by the things that they have been told. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." That word, it means no control. Living in a day where there is no control, men just do whatever's right in their own sight, the Bible says. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And he warns Timothy to turn away from that. In 1 Kings, the third chapter, there's a story told of two women that have babies when King Solomon was king. And to describe his wisdom, one baby, the Bible says, the mother overlaid the baby and the baby died, and the mother took that baby and laid it in the bosom of the mother that had the live baby and took the live baby for herself. But when the mother awoke, she knew it wasn't her baby. And so there was a court decision to be made. And they went before the king. And who knew who owned the live baby, who the live baby belonged to. And King Solomon said, "This is what we'll do. We'll cut the baby in half and give each one of you half." And the real mother said, "No, no, no." But the one who wasn't the mother said, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that." And so they gave the live baby to the real mother. Well, you see, we're living in a day that in lots of households that would not be true. But women coming to a place that they decide to take their own child's life for convenience. We're living in a society where women sacrifice their babies on the altar of convenience. Secondly, we're living in a day where time is our most precious commodity. Look with me over in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and look at verse 15. "Seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now look at this next word, redeeming the time. It's a mathematical term. It's a bookkeeping term. And so when you redeem something, you do what is best for the time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So the parents, and I don't know where that video came from. My brother sent it to me, and I watched it, showed it to some other folks, and I thought the church has got... I meant to show it last Sunday night and failed to. I thought the church has got to see that. The parents of that child had redeemed the time. They had spent time teaching that child the Word of God. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and in verse 15, let's look at what he says here in verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about Scripture. In the book of Isaiah, and I'd like for you to look at that with me also, Isaiah, the 28th chapter. This is a great passage, and it talks about when to teach the Word of God, when to start teaching the Word of God to your children. So look at Isaiah 28, look down at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Isn't that a good... Who can understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Those children can understand doctrine. We used to play a little game that Evangelist David Miller had actually taught us when he was doing a revival in our church and our kids were little, and we called it Bonnie Connie. Now, we haven't played Bonnie Connie in a long time, but you would come up with a definition, a description of a Bible character, and then you had to guess who that Bible character was. And so if you guessed who the Bible character was, then you won Bonnie Connie. And so we did that a lot with our kids, and it was a great, when we traveled especially, when we rode in the car, and we did a lot of that when they were young, because we were in college when they were young, and let's go on. Living in the days of transferable faith. Faith, transferable faith, can only be caught, not taught. It has to do with how you live your life before your kids. Several years ago, Don Williams came up with a old country song that some of you will recognize. It's Good Old Boys Like Me. And the lyrics to that song goes like this. When I was a kid, Uncle Remus would put me to bed. You know who Uncle Remus is? My granddaughter knows who Uncle Remus is. We do Uncle Remus at our house. With a picture of Stonewall Jackson above my head. Then Daddy came in. This is what I wanted you to hear. Then Daddy came in to kiss his little man with gin on his breath and a Bible in his hand. And he talked about honor and things I should know. Then he'd stagger a little as he went out the door. Our teaching is ineffective unless our children see what we teach in our lifestyle. Look with me over in the book of Proverbs, Psalms, Proverbs, Proverbs, the 19th chapter, and look at verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his cry. Did you know that was in the Bible? Do you know what that says? Give them a spanking when they need it. And what it says here in this verse, if you study that verse, you discover that it says, while there is hope. Now, what that Maine says that if you do not discipline your children when they are young, there comes a time when there is not hope. So it's okay to give a loving, godly spanking. Now, don't let the world tell you any different. Don't raise your kids by the way of the world. Raise them according to the Word of God. And it's okay to give a little spanking. It'll do them good. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, since we're in Proverbs, let's go ahead and go to that verse, 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6, get back in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, look at verse 4 here. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I remember one of the hardest days of our life was when we had to turn Arabella over to her adoptive parents. And I said to the daddy, bring her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he said, we will. I hope they do. And I hope you do. I hope you bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture here means education or training. Correction in the right way and instructing them. This word admonition means a mild rebuke or a warning that you can't raise a child any other way but giving proper discipline. And then finally, in the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is a description of a virtuous woman. Some of you young married here have gone through my little premarital counseling, and you know this passage well. It starts with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In verse 11 and verse 12, she is faithful to her husband. In verses 13 through verse 20, she's industrious. In verses 21 through verse 28, we discover that her family is a great priority in her life. And then we end up the passage by discovering what her secret to life is. And it is her relationship to the Lord. You cannot raise your children the way that they should be raised without a relationship to the Lord yourself. So I want to urge you, mothers and fathers, that you focus in on your own relationship to the Lord so that you can be the mother that God has called you to be, so that you can be the father that God has called you to be. The most important decision that you could possibly ever make in all of your life is what you do with the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes I've perfected praise. And I've listened to that little girl give her witness four or five times, maybe more than that. And I thought how much she knew about someone's relationship with the Lord, that it was so important. But I caught something there on the end, and she said, I love Jesus, and I love you. I love Jesus, and I love you. And because I love Jesus, and because I love you, I want to tell you about the most important relationship you could possibly have in all of your life, and that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus. And the only way that you have that is that you make a decision yourself. Your mama can't make it for you. Your daddy can't make it for you. You're the only one that can make that decision. Matter of fact, if your mama or your daddy makes that decision for you, you don't have it. You don't have it. You have to make it for yourself. And the Spirit has to deal with your heart as you make that decision for Him. And I want to urge you today that you would accept Christ as your personal Savior. Mike's going to come. We're going to give you an invitation to make that decision today for Christ. That you would make it today. Let's stand together. And it may be that the Lord is dealing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, or the Lord's dealing with your heart to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, that God's dealing with your heart to make a decision, maybe a recommitment to Him today. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. So as we sing, you come right now.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more. Trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, need the healing cleansing flood. Oh.